I've got my posh latte today, and I've had my scotch pancakes, so I'm caffeinated and fed. I'm like a little gremlin.
I love a Scotch pancake,
Oh,
like
awesome.
better than American pancakes. All I had them before pancakes were cool. Welcome along and welcome back to season two of 30 Something Gamers. Do you know, Boxy, I've not really mentioned this to you, but do you know why we're releasing them in seasons, in season one and season two?
You mean there's a reason?
There is a reason. It's a really bad reason. But the reason is, when I went to upload the first podcast, it asked me what season and what episode, and I thought it would make us sound really cool if we were like, this is season one and this is season two. And then what's actually happened is we got to the end of season one and we didn't want to stop, so it knacked us. Then we had to sort of take a couple of weeks out, do a little cameo on Coach Mars' podcast. Go and have a listen if you don't already. And then now we're back. So I'm not going to call it season two, episode one. I'm just going to call it episode 11, if that's all right with you.
Oh no, I want to make it season two because we are kind of doing this arse about face because most sensible people would wait like a year or two before like going into the second season, but it just kind of proves that we've got nothing better to do.
I don't think podcasters wait a year. We're not like a high budget television show that takes hours and hours to make. We sit down, talk shit for an hour, and post it online. No one was expecting us to wait an hour, man. But what I do have to say is thank you to everyone for the support on the last episode. If you haven't listened to it, we did an episode 10 of season one on mental health, and me and Boxy were quite raw. We're quite worried about putting it out because there was a lot in there, a lot of sort of exposing our souls. Now, I'm used to exposing myself, but not in that way. And the support and the messages that we got through were amazing. And can I just say to anyone who's listened to that and is still maybe feeling not in the best way, there are so many people who sent me messages, and Boxy as well, I'm sure he'll mention, telling me their story. That how they aligned, how they felt the same, how they didn't really have a sort of anyone to reach out to or anything like that. And they enjoyed listening because it sort of helped them to realize they're not alone. It resonated with them. So if you're still thinking, ah, it's only me and them, there are so many people out there. And I just want to one more time plug if you do need anyone. I do have a Discord, links on my TikTok and my YouTube, everything like that, my Linktree. Please go along there, and there are lots of people in there, lots of awesome people in my community who will always be there for you as a friend, not just when you need help, but as a friend. So I'm sure you probably want to echo those sentiments as well, Artie.
Yeah, absolutely. It was really eye-opening, really. There was a bit of worry about putting that episode out, just thinking how it would land. But the response has been so insanely wholesome. Just so many nice people reaching out and saying their stories, but just saying thank you for being confident enough to go out with that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I completely echo what you say, Tom. I'm not as exposed as you are. But if anyone does want to reach out and have a chat, my DMs, that's what the kids say, is always open. So please do just drop me a message.
So there we go, episode 10, and Boxy is already, sorry, it's episode 11. Christ, I'm looking at my notes. Episode 11, and Boxy is already asking you to slide into his DMs. It's standard. How long are we in? Couple of minutes. You've got no shame. And as well, if you are enjoying the podcast, I know we're only on episode one of season two, but please drop a review wherever you listen it, Spotify, Amazon, Apple. It helps wherever you are, so please drop a review on there. And we have special news. We went from doing it every 2 weeks because we couldn't fit it in to we're going to continue to be weekly, but not only that, we are going to have a special little nugget once a week as well, a little 10, 15-minute show that we are going to add in each week. So we're going to have two pods come out every single week, our main one and our little nugget of fun. And nugget of fun isn't a great name, so I think, Boxy, I think we should let the listeners decide what we call it.
Can
So
I make a suggestion?
you can make a suggestion.
So the main episode is the big poo, and the little nugget is the little nugget that won't cling off. You know, when you have to do a little
Cling
shake.
off. Did you say cling off?
Yeah, that's a
Were
phrase.
you thinking of cling on?
Cling on. It just clings on.
Yeah.
And it just hangs there. And you have
Right.
to give it a bit of a shake.
When I said nugget of fun, I wasn't referring to shit because, well, I mean, it is a pod, but why do we call it shit? No, we're going to the listeners. Listeners, in the comments, we're going to have a little 10-15 minute episode every single week. We're going to add in, as well as the main pod, what could it be called? It's not going to be called the Cling Off at all. And let's just move on and get into the episode before I have to think about the word Cling Off anymore. So what we're going to go in today's episode, we're going to talk about what I've been playing. Next episode, we'll talk about what Boxy's been playing, but obviously it's all about me. So obviously, since the last episode with me streaming and stuff like that, I've been playing loads of things. But the last three sort of games I've been playing, the first one is Catherine. Have you ever played Catherine, Boxy?
Sexy puzzle game.
Sexy puzzle game with many sheep. And I have a Welshman in my community who's in a lot of time, and he came in for that stream and he got untold grief. Like, it is pure stereotypical bog standard 70s worker men's club banter. But he got it all the way through. I've been wanting to play Catherine for a while. I've seen footage and I was like, how does it work? And my community probably reflects me because I had a choice of a couple of games. It was Catherine, Okami, and Getaway, Black Monday. I was going to play one of them and I put it to a poll. And I think Getaway was winning. And then someone mentioned in the chat that there is the possibility of boobs in Catherine, and people changed their votes and it won by a landslide. And then they were fuming at me when there was no boobs. And I was like, I never mentioned once there would be boobs. They were just too thirsty.
Sounds like it's your fault, Tom.
If you ask my community, it is my fault. My life is just full of people blaming me for stuff that I haven't done here and at home. I'm fuming,
You
absolutely
should have
fuming. Anyway,
some boob foresight.
I should have. If there's anything in the world, a superpower that we should have as streamers, it is boob foresight. Just to firstly stop me getting banned, and if you're going on Twitch, knowing how to pull the customers in, like a sleazy sir. I've just been to the circus, I've got circus man. A sleazy circus PR man. Oh, boobs, come on in. Like a cigar and stuff. I couldn't smoke a cigar. I don't smoke. I'd choke. I'd be like, that comedy little dweeb in the background when everyone's having a cigar and there's someone coughing the guts up. I don't know how I've got under this. Sorry, ADHD tangent.
What
Anyway,
circus are you going to?
well, this one was ran by Hungarians and had lots of bikes, lots of acrobats, and then when they were setting up like the trapeze and stuff in between, they had this pure Butlins act that were like 25 years over the hill. So basically, you're watching these awesome athletes doing the trapeze and doing like awesome juggling and a monster truck and flames and juggling fire. And then when they need to set for the next one, this like old past middle-aged couple will come out and do, the old change the dress quickly routine and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They would just come on and do that, and you could look around and everyone go and see, and this has completely changed from what, because you've got like rave music and boof, boof, and oh, trapeze and blah, and then it's just like this middle-aged couple out changing the dress every now and again. But it was awesome, and they were lovely. So yeah, it was good. Anyway, back to Catherine. I didn't gel with me as much as I thought it would, because I do like a puzzle game, but it got frustrating. Again, I don't know whether it's because I was streaming it, so I couldn't focus on that. I had to chat as well. But I kept getting beat up. Not beat up, getting caught by whatever it is coming out. And then it was really fun talking to, like, sort of human sheep. Human sheep? What do you call anthropomorphic sheep? Is that what you say? I don't know.
If you want,
At the start, but then it just got boring. Sheep banter is shit.
isn't it? Because it's the full. Did you play the full body edition?
Oh, I don't know. I've got a reversible cover on it. You can choose which lady you want, and I've not changed it round. Because imagine having that conversation with the missus. Why have you changed it round to the other girl? I don't know.
Thought
There's
your
no
way out
right
of that
answer
one.
there.
Now, aren't you a like a naked man climbing a tower and all the blocks are coming out.
Yeah, you got your boxers on.
Well, little do you know, you can't see me. But...
it is, and the reason I want to play it is I've seen so much like stills and the odd image of it, and I'm like, how does the puzzle work? But you're just trying to climb this tower, and you've got to pull the right sort of blocks out and stuff like that to get up, and then there's they add more and more in, and they were starting to add like trick blocks and stuff like that, and I was sort of concentrating on my chat, talking, coming up with Welsh sheep jokes constantly, and I couldn't concentrate on it all. So I might give it another go in private.
Yeah.
And when I got a little bit bored of that, because we played that just on Twitch, because Twitch allows boobs more. Not in real life, but basically you can see what game you're playing. So if it knows you're playing Catherine, it will block certain things. It knows what the game's like. Whereas you don't have that with TikTok. The AI mod will just go, ooh. You know, I've mentioned it before. Yennefer's arse out The Witcher got me shadow banned for like 10 days. I got sent no one through because it just flashed up without us being able to flick the scene over. So when we'd done that for a bit, I wanted to stream a little bit on TikTok. So we moved over to Dog's Life, which I'd never played. And I know you did play as a kid, didn't you, Boxy?
Yeah, it was the game that everyone wanted because of the farting button.
Mm-hmm. Well, the farting button... it doesn't do it all the time, so it's a nice little surprise. It's a nice little nugget of surprise. Every now and again, he curls one out, which, as a kid, I think I would have found hilarious and funny. But it was making me really, really motion sick because a lot of the game, you're third person with a dog walking around, but then you've got to go into, like, smell-o-vision, dog vision, so because you can see smells, but you can't see them when you're third person. You've got to go first person. And I know you aren't keen on parkour in first person, are you?
No. Now,
I'm
so
okay with Mirror's Edge. Yeah, well, Mirror's Edge, I think, is okay, and I can understand it being disorientating. But this one was really... it's sort of like... I don't know whether it had, like, a joggle on the head as he was moving, and it just... I played it for a bit and I had to turn it off. It was okay. I'd imagine it being a good game, and I can see why lots of people go, oh, I loved that game as a kid, but don't go back to it. But the main game that I've really enjoyed playing recently is, have you ever played Heart of Darkness on the PS1?
Oh yeah. It's one of my cults. Well, it's one of those games that I love to hate. I think there's so much wrong with it. Mm. But there is something about it that keeps pulling you back. It's trial and error.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way you can go through that game and breeze through it easily without dying.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, oh, I'm going to easily die here. You have to come back. Just remember where that spot was and work your way around it. But I think it's a real achievement because it's an early kind of PS1 game. Mm-hmm. You know, the film that it has at the start, and it's all the pre-rendered backdrops, and I like the monsters. I think the theme of it is really
don't tell
cool.
us you like the monsters.
Cause... no, I like the shadow monsters. I think those village
Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, potato hybrid things. They're really dumb. Yeah. But I thought the shadow monsters were really creepy and really cool back in the day.
Yeah. Well, I do have a video on TikTok ready to go up, a montage of just deaths, because I love the game. It is trial and error. It reminds me very much of, have you played Flashback and Another World, like on the Mega Drive?
I remember Flashback, yeah.
That's just trial and error. You need to know what to do to get through it. And you go, and it's sort of like a puzzle game in a way, isn't it? You get into each screen, you're thinking, what do I have to do at this screen? You'll die multiple times. But the reason I made a montage of all the deaths is because it has no age rating. It's like three... you know, on the back of the ESRB, and you got 3 to 10, 10 to 50, whatever. It's like E for everyone. It's acceptable for everyone. There are brutal deaths in it. Like, the shadow creatures get you and tear this young boy, like, in half. There are so many different death animations. And I'm sitting there talking to chat going, is this really, like, at the 3+? And I think it just goes to show, back then when they were first doing, like, gradings for games and age ratings and stuff like that, they just looked at the game and was like, oh, it's a cutesy cartoon-esque one. That's absolutely fine. And it was whether it looked real which got the age rating for them, like your Mortal Kombat and stuff like that. They got a high age rating, even though there's probably more brutal deaths in Heart of Darkness animations than there are in the original Mortal Kombat, but it's good for everyone.
The scariest bit of that game when I was a kid was right at the start, when it's the intro film and the teacher locks him in the cupboard, and the teacher looks like the demon headmaster or something. He looks so weird. And he says, what's wrong with you? Afraid of the dark? And it reminds me of, oh, what was it? Not Tales from the Crypt, but do you remember that show where it was a guy in a cinema and he used to play...
Yes.
Horror stories for kids, and it was like the old cinema keeper.
The old cinema keeper was like, he was like stop motion-y, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And like bald head, green. Yeah. I can remember you, because I remember that. And can you remember, I don't know, as a child, I was a Nickelodeon child. I'm sure it came under like our like British TV, not like the Nickelodeon channel. There was one where these kids would go round a campfire. And it was like,
Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Was it? Yes. And they used to tell each other like ghost stories.
Yeah,
that was absolutely, because I loved all the like the Goosebumps stories as well when I was a kid. I had them all. I did have them all, and this is why children, and this is why teachers are leaving the profession 3 years in. I took like my full selection of Goosebumps into school because I thought the kids will love those. I'm year five, so they're like 10 years old or so. They are like everywhere around the school now. Hacky people have drawn in them, absolutely fuming. And this is why teachers are leaving, because they bring the Goosebumps book in and they're not respected.
I think he sold the most books, I think. R.L. Stein.
You need a bit more context than just he's sold the most books.
No,
like
I think
kids' books or like more than the Bible.
Probably not the Bible, but I think I read somewhere that he's got the record for most book sales. I don't know whether he's surpassed J.K. Rowling, but people don't think of him as being up there, but he really is.
But it's that thing of like, he's like the kid's Stephen King, isn't he? He has 700 books, which is obviously crazy. Helps. I used to have a one that lit up. It was like a pumpkin on the front and you press the button and the eyes would light up. I don't know where that one is. I love that one.
I think towards the end of his career, though, he was quite starved for creativity, because he was literally trying to make anything scary. Like the demon table light.
Well, like I said, Stephen King, he's just like, oh, well, ooh, a prit stick of death, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, I've used all my creativity, I have nothing left. But yeah, we finished disc one of Heart of Darkness, and like I say, it shows you how much they'd put in. It's a two-disc game. I think I only streamed like 3 hours and I finished the first disc, but it's just because it's an overload of like CG and it's like pre-rendered painted backgrounds, like sort of Final Fantasy VII and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's still a really good game to like look at visually.
It's a real achievement. It's just, it's one of those games that really should have a remake, because they could really sort out a lot of the shit that goes on with it. Yeah. But what I can never understand was, at the start of the game, he goes, his dog gets taken for some reason, and then he goes to his treehouse and he has a spaceship in his treehouse.
Well, what happened is I started the game and I don't think I'd streamed for a while, and it was loads of people, I'm not like, this isn't a humble brag or anything, loads of people dropped loads of gifts at the start of my stream, and I have sound alerts linked. And then it got to a thing where, like, any gift that's sent is a sound alert, and I have random quotes from, like, Alan Partridge, Monty Python, Matt Berry, play when someone sends a gift, like, one coin, which is, like, I think less than a penny. So it's not like it's a lot to set off a sound in my stream. But then they thought it was funny because the sounds were over the top of the cutscene. So they just spammed a load, and I didn't know what was happening because I couldn't hear what was... I'd set them too loud. I couldn't hear what they were saying. And then we got there, and I was like, right, all I can see is Alien stole his dog, and then for some reason he's got a spaceship. Like,
he's
flunking out of school. He's getting told off by his parents for getting told off at school and stuff, but he can build a spaceship.
It's that blunt, literally. It's like, oh, well, I've got the perfect solution to go and find my dog. And what I hated as well was because he also has a laser gun
Yeah.
and a helmet and things, but he loses them within about 20 minutes of starting the game. Monsters eat it up, and you're like, well, that's my weapon gone. And that was a really cool weapon, which just obliterated everything in my path. And then it turns
Maybe they
into a
start the
platformer.
trend of taking all your powers off you.
Maybe, but
Maybe if there wasn't Heart of Darkness, there was no Castlevania, because you Castlevania Symphony of the Night. Do you know where you've got all your powers at the start?
I'm not sure if Symphony of the Night came first.
We'll just say it didn't. Nobody fact check us in the comments. Leave it alone.
People are going to fact check us, and I do have to start. I mean, we're already halfway through, but like, I have to start this podcast by apologizing. I made a big song and dance about an IGN review in the last season about being too much water, and I, you know that thing where you're just adamant, like you're adamant that you know the answer, and clearly, I didn't look it up because I was just so sure of myself. And then we had all these comments saying, like, I was wrong and all that thing. And me just being a stubborn bastard, I was like, no, you're wrong. It's definitely Wind Waker. Wind Waker, they definitely said there was too much water in their IGN review of it. But I was so wrong. And everyone was right. It was Pokemon Asphyxiation or whatever it's called. Or, yeah, the
Well,
Pokemon names have got
can I just
stupid.
say, can you now apologize to Eamon? Because Eamon's from my community, and I saw he was the first comment on that said, and I actually said in a pod afterwards, Eamon has said it wasn't Wind Waker, it was Pokemon. You went, no, it's definitely definitely Wind Waker. So can you apologize to Eamon right now?
Eamon, listen up. Pull up a chair. I'm sorry. Sometimes our ego gets the better of us.
And you know
You
what
know
it
when you're
is?
just so sure about something and you just think, nah, everyone else is wrong. I don't know why I thought it was Wind Waker. Maybe because that game is just so water.
Yeah.
There's so much water in it. And because I don't really play Pokemon, I just didn't connect it to that. But I knew that too much water was a really infamous quote that a journalist said, which got absolutely shat on. So I just
You just
connected
pick
it
the
in my
most
brain.
watery game.
Yeah, logic. I was, there you go, Eamon. I was working off logic.
And this is it. Can everyone listen now? Because there is so many times in this podcast where Boxy, right, is so confident and sounds so cocksure in what he says, where sometimes he says something, and I know he said something wrong, but he says it with such confidence that I question myself. Like before, when you said 1780 rather than 1980, and then afterwards you were like, no, I didn't. And like in my head, I'm going, well, he mustn't have. He's so confident in what he said. And then I went back and edited it and I had to put it in to prove myself right. So if he says something, we disagree, and he's so confident, you go, oh, you can tell with his swagger that Boxy's right. Just fact check him, because he just likes the smell of his own shit.
We live and learn. And on that note, it's time for trivia.
Oh, your
Now,
favorite part.
it is my favorite part, and we
Yeah.
have mixed things up for season two, but I was adamant that we are keeping trivia because it is my favorite part of the podcast. And this is the point where we find out whether Tom is a true gamer or whether he's one of these posers who thinks that Subnautica is some sort of wet sandwich. Now,
I think you only like trivia just to think of those.
pretty much. Now, because we've done most of the kind of hot ones, the kind of obvious ones, I've had to dig a little bit deeper and go a little bit nicher with trivia. So this week we are going to be looking at taglines. Whenever games come out, they usually have a marketing tagline with them that exemplifies what they're all about a little bit more. Think about it on TikTok when you have your main name and you can put your little blurby bit underneath it. What's yours?
My blurb normally mentions me being a Macam. Mine just says retro collector and streamer. It's
Oh,
pretty
that's pretty
boring.
bland, isn't it?
Well, what's yours? Sorry, that's TikTok. I'll check what it was.
If giving video game reviews were a crime, I'd be on death row.
Oh.
Anyway,
I'd
I thought
rather be bland than shit.
that was quite clever when I thought that. Okay, so we are going to be talking about taglines. Now, I'm going to give you a video game tagline,
Okay.
and you have to guess what game it's from. Sounds easy?
But you'll have chose like difficult ones, so it sounds easy, yes. Give it to me.
I think that there's clues in these, so you should be
Okay.
able to figure out at least one of them. I think one or two you might not get, but let's do it. Let's see how good your brain is for season two. Okay. I have to do it in a voice. Your enemies will define you.
My enemies will define me. So I'm immediately thinking of a game where you can either like steal enemies' powers or you can choose to be an enemy.
Oh, I'm shaking
No.
in my chair. This is so wrong.
Oh. Your enemies will define you.
This is more about the character,
Right.
about his
His.
personality, about what he's all about.
What is all about your enemy? I need a clue. I've got no sparks of.
Okay, it's a comic book series.
A comic book series. Your enemies will just define you. Is it a Wolverine game? Is it a Batman game? Oh, it's a Batman game. Your enemies will define you. Now, have you went for one of the the last one, Arkham Knight,
The one before?
Arkham City?
Nope, one after.
Arkham Knight,
One before.
Arkham Origins?
Just
I
to
wasn't thinking of that
highlight,
one in like the trilogy.
you said Arkham Knight twice.
I know because you confused us because you said Arkham Knight then when you went before, so I went the game before in that enclosed trilogy, and then you went after, and I thought you must have misheard me because obviously in Arkham Knight, obviously, well, I won't mention who he is, although if you know the comic at all, it's fucking obvious. Your enemy that you're fighting, the Arkham Knight, is, but obviously it's Origins, and yeah, I get it now.
Yeah,
But it's not.
Batman.
You said there was clues. There's no like Batman-y clues in there.
Well, no, because the character of Batman, his entourage of villains are all reflective of part of his personality. It's Harvey Dent is his duality, Two-Face. See?
English literature third coming out, right? Let's
Oh,
move on.
I wish we studied
Well,
Batman.
what part of Batman is the condiment? Is it the condiment king or the condiment? He's
He
got.
likes a big splash of mayo on his burgers.
Right, okay. What's Harley Quinn?
Mischievous in bed, sexy.
Batman, mischievous in bed. That's the tagline we wanted. That would have been a good Telltale series. There's a few
Would
QTEs I can think of there.
have sold millions. Right, next one. They're working together, but they don't have to like it. God, that could mean
Could
us,
be,
couldn't
I
it?
was going to say there's a tagline for the pod. They're working together, so two people that don't like each other. Just a quick clue, do they like each other at the end?
Can't remember, but I guess so.
Yeah, they're pretty much, it always is, isn't it? It's the narrative. So the two people that don't like it, a split fiction?
No.
Right, okay. Just because I've been playing that recently on stream as well with the missus. So two characters, is it enslaved?
No, so think about an established series which has a hero and a villain, and in one game they have to work together.
Crash Bandicoot. Is it Twin Sanity?
It's Twin Sanity.
Oh, there we go. I
Great
mean,
game.
I didn't realise how many games there are where there's two characters and they don't like each other because I was going to go to Uncharted is Lost Legacy. Do they like each other in that one? They don't at the
Oh, it's
start, do they?
Chloe and somebody else,
Yeah,
isn't
but they both want to bang Nathan Drake, so they can't be getting on at the start.
it? No, Crash to Insanity, great game. And here's a fun fact: the whole soundtrack of that game was done in a cappella. There you go.
Right? No, I've never played Crash to Insanity, but I did buy it because there's someone who keeps saying, you need to get it, you need to get it, you need to get it. So I got it in the for my PS2. So I'll have to listen because when you say it's all a cappella, do they make it sound like instruments?
Yeah, it's like the Pitch Perfect kind of way of doing music, but it's a great soundtrack
I was
and
going to
it's
say, I
really
don't know whether I can play a full game with Pitch Perfect going on. The odd song, but like hours and hours of Pitch Perfect. I don't know if I can take that.
Crash Twinsanity is much better than Pitch Perfect, so don't panic. But get on
Okay.
that game because it is really good.
Right. Okay.
Okay, next one. If at first you don't succeed, die, die again. A lot of
Right.
clues in there.
So it's obviously a game where you die a lot. See that
Well done, Tom.
logic? Logic. I've got a couple of games that pop up. Soul series and Super Meat Boy come straight to my head.
Nope.
Neither. Oh. If.
Okay, so think about structure. So if at first you don't succeed, die, die again. What sort of video game structure does that embody?
Like Dark Souls or Super Meat Boy? Because you
No,
try over and over and you keep dying.
think about like design of a game, like a genre of games where you die and you just keep coming back.
Souls-like?
Oh, for God's sake, I have said no to Souls twice now.
Well, like, I can't think of another game genre where, like, dying is such a big part of it.
Roguelike.
Well, is that not Souls-like?
No.
What's the difference?
Souls is like a linear story where even if you die, you go back to checkpoints. Roguelike is you go back to the beginning.
All right, okay. I don't think I've played many roguelikes. Is it Returnal then?
No.
Oh, is it
It's a game you and me,
Balatro?
it's a game that you and me both hate.
We both hate it, so we must have talked about it and mentioned our disdain for it. Do you see how I said disdain? I'm really careful when I say that because for years I thought it was disdain. Anyway,
Well, it sounds the same.
disdain, disdain. Disdain, disdain,
Yeah, that just
disdain.
sounds the same, mate.
Right, okay. Right, a game we both a roguelike that I've played. I don't know. I don't think I've played many roguelikes.
Gosh, I'll just give it to you.
No.
Right.
Give us
So,
the system.
PS5.
PS5. So I've played it on the PS5. Oh, Deathloop.
Deathloop.
Yeah. I didn't see it. I hated it. I just, when I was going for the platinum, I dialed out and I just think it was creatively, they could have done so much more. So much
Yeah,
more.
I didn't like it at all.
Yeah.
A 10 out of 10 game, which I thought was a
Did it
not
get
even.
like good reviews?
Yeah, IGN gave it a 10 out of 10. I think GameSpot gave it a 10 out of 10. People were absolutely gushing over it, and it was one of those games where I was playing. I was like, I really don't get what the hype is
No,
around this. Usually,
no.
I can kind of appreciate it from someone else's perspective, even if I don't completely get on with it myself. But with Deathloop, I had no idea what the big fuss was about that game.
Yeah. See, I played a game like it's more of a puzzle one and it's like a 2D, I remember, but it's called The Sexy Brutale. And that's a great game where you go back to the start and use what you've learned to sort of advance the plot. And I thought, oh, well, it's an FPS, that's gonna do that, it's gonna be great. And it just didn't live up to it. Because I always have to ask about reviews because I try to stay away from them. I try to go into games blind. How do I like it? Because I am so influenced by people, reviews, stuff like that. Like if someone tells you me this game shit, I'll go in thinking this game shit and it will like mar my sort of playthrough of it. So I try to stay away, but I no way would have thought that got like 10 out of 10s. It's got to be because it's like the first one on it. I always think when games first come out on a new platform, they get a little bit more leeway and it's like you jump up. So it's like, oh, this is amazing. Like Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, great game. It's like playing a Pixar movie. But they had this big thing of like how a rift would come and you instantly go to another world because of the SSD. And it was used in like one or two set pieces. It wasn't like a thing that could happen in the game where you could like press a button. Like I assumed looking at some of the footage where like you'd be in different dimensions, so all the worlds would be like similar. And
Yeah.
when you press the button, like a portal would open and you'd go and you'd use it as a puzzle mechanic to like get through certain things. I thought and it didn't. And hopefully they will again in the future, but it was more just a look what we can do in load things class. And that's what I want from my video games. No fun, no narrative, my heartstrings being pulled by a monumental narrative. I want it to load fancy.
Yeah, that's what they're kind of aiming for, isn't it? I
Yeah.
felt the same about Ratchet and Clank. Like, very pretty to look at, but the gameplay didn't really evolve past. I mean, it was like
Yeah.
playing any other Ratchet and Clank game, really.
Yeah.
But they're good games. All right, let's keep going. What if our greatest heroes became our greatest threat?
Oh, Suicide Squad.
Close, but no.
Oh, can you see why I went? I'm sure I've not played it. It's still sealed because people tell us it is horse crap and it's microtransaction central. But don't they in Suicide Squad all the Justice League go batshit crazy?
Something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So another one
You're
is
in the
good.
right ballpark, let's
So
say.
like superhero type thing.
Yeah.
Is it a Marvel one then instead of DC? Or Infamous? Not Infamous,
No.
Injustice.
Well done. I thought
Injustice.
you'd struggle with that one. Do
Cut.
you know what the full title is?
Gods Among Men?
Close. Gods Among Us.
A Gods Among Us. Gods Among Us.
They were
Yeah.
good games.
Yeah, they were all right. I don't. Fighting genre is my worst genre of game. Like, I'm not very good at it. And because I flit around games, I don't spend too long on it to get good. So, you obviously, you can't play online or anything. And mostly, I'm playing on my own. So I didn't play, but then when a game like that comes up, or it was a DC versus Mortal Kombat, and it's like, oh, that looks interesting, that would be cool to play. Or even sometimes when the Mortal Kombat games like come out and they're like, oh, we've got like Jason, or they've had some really like out there characters though as well, haven't they? Am I making this up? Have they had like John Wick? They haven't had John Wick, have they? I'm probably thinking of
I'm not.
Fortnite.
They've had like Leatherface and Freddy Krueger and all the 80s horror
Yeah.
icons. But no, Injustice was great because they made Superman the bad guy, and I think that is perfect. It's the boys' structure. Just make the most powerful person in existence the villain, and it just makes
Yeah.
things 10 times more interesting. And he kills the Joker, spoiler, but that's at the start of the game, so it's not really a spoiler.
Yeah, they've had Mortal Kombat have had Ghostface from Scream, Homelander, the Predator. Like just Spawn, like when I see those characters, I think, oh, well, I'll drop in. That'll be Doom Guy, apparently, and Kratos. Kratos is great for Mortal Kombat, like absolutely an Omni Man. Have you ever watched Invincible? No,
No.
it's on Amazon, I think. I watched the first couple of episodes and I really enjoyed it, and something happened, I didn't get back into it. But that's got a really cool premise about it. I'll not mention anything, but if you've got a little bit of time, watch that.
They had RoboCop in as well, and I love a bit of RoboCop. Okay, this one's the most this one's the cleverest one. This one
Right,
made me
okay.
laugh. Get ready to soil your plants.
Plants versus zombies?
Well done. That
Yeah.
one's quite obvious.
I thought you were gonna say, no, it's Farming Simulator 2024.
Stardew Valley, yeah.
That's a good
Okay.
one. I like that one.
This one is, there's not many hints in this one, but it was a famous one. So I'm very optimistic for you. And it's the last one. Ever have one of those days?
One of those days.
It was a very, very controversial game when it came out.
Really controversial game that ever had one of those days. Like when you say, as soon as you say controversial, my mind automatically goes to like Manhunt and stuff like that. And I know it's
You're not far off. It's that
right.
kind of level of controversy, I would say.
Right. Okay, so it's a brutal game. Is it are we like similar in like genre? It's dark, it's gory type of game.
Okay, this is your last clue. It's a
Yeah.
game that gives you a lot of freedom.
A lot of freedom.
And you can do things however you want. But most people took the sadistic
Yeah.
maniac sort of route.
When I'm thinking of controversy and stuff like that, because that doesn't sound like a GTA or a Saints Row sort of tagline at all. I think more of like a Carmageddon or. But then the tagline doesn't match with that type of game. So your freedom and you can do what you want. People went mad. If I had one of those days, I'm gonna have to secede. I don't know.
Postal 2.
Ah, right. Okay. Yeah. If we weren't on podcast, sort of recording, that would have been one where and don't tell us. And like half an hour later, I would have went Postal. Or Postal 2. Is that where you can use a cat's arse as a suppressor?
Yeah. And you,
Isn't
I think the whole structure is it just tells you to go to the shop, go home, really basic things, but it has guns and petrol cans lying around and you can piss on people. And yeah, it's just that kind of open freedom where everyone just took really stupid routes. But they've had tons of sequels as well, but they've all been really shit. But Postal 2 was the one which got kind of famous
Yeah.
because of how weird it was.
Don't they have Gary? Is it Gary Coleman? You know, the guy goes, "What you talking about, Willis?" I'm sure he's in one of them, which is definitely putting us as 30-something gamers because that I think that's even before our time, Boxy. But for some reason, growing up, I knew the "What you talking about, Willis?" Was that off? Did Bo
Was it?
Selector or something use that line?
No,
Did they have it or
no, no.
something?
It was oh God, I can't remember what show it was in. Is it Growing Pains or something like that? Yeah, but it was an American show back in the day, and that was his catchphrase.
Right, well, thank you for the trivia because I got hardly any right there.
You got Plants vs.
I got
Zombies.
Plants vs. Zombies, and I got most of them once I've been given me Hansel and Gretel breadcrumbs to get to it. So I'll give myself there. I do
Did you
think
just
that's a
say
hard
bread
ground.
crumb?
Mel, if that's what you like in the morning, I mean, you can get gluten free. You can get, I don't know, what, brioche, and now you can
Ooh.
get breadcrumbs.
Lots of protein.
So let's move on. Talking about bread, you might roll up to a nice table with white sheet on, and there might be a little basket of bread rolls. I love a warm bread roll with that butter on in the little plastic pack. And we're sitting there, and we're moving on to a next section with an awesome segue into. Me and Boxy have decided who our dinner guests would be if we were having video game characters round for a nice meal. I haven't even thought, Boxy, I thought about who was going to come to my dinner party. I didn't think about what I was going to serve them. So I'm just going to go for turkey Twizzlers, turkey dinosaurs, smiley face potatoes, finish off with some Angel Delight.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going on what's in our fridge and freezers at the moment with children in the house, then yeah, I'd probably have to match you on that.
Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to see which dinner guests we would have round. Now, originally when I sent the message to Boxy, I said two dinner guests, and I've done what I always do. I've got three. You'll understand why I need the last one
Yeah, well
eventually.
done, Tom, for you never listened to my instructions and now you're not listening to your own instructions.
No. And I was even going to send you a message saying, I thought of three if you want to think of another one, mate. And I thought, nah. I'm
Well,
just
if I can
gonna.
think of a third by the time you've finished rambling, then I'll add it in. But
Okay. How do you want to do this? Do you want to go person each, or shall I say who my dinner table's gonna be, and you can move on to your dinner table?
let's do one each. Let's mix it up a little bit. Can I
Okay.
just ask, are we going on the proviso that these people can't kill us?
That's your choice. That's your
Okay.
choice. Would the well, I'll be interested to hear who your people are now. But in the comments, please let us know who would you invite round. Three guests, I'm going to say, even though I told Boxy to. Three guests, who are you inviting round from the video game world? And the most important thing, whose dinner table is going to be the most interesting, mine or Boxy's? And I am going to start off with Mimir from God of Boar, as you like to call it. The Scottish talking head, right now. Listen, that Scottish talking head has great banter. He's a laugh. He's Scottish. Most Scottish people have good banter anyway. He's clever as out. He has so many stories. He knows the stories of like all of time. So he's got an anecdote, and he's just a head. So he probably doesn't even need food. So he's a cheap date.
He's a lazy shit. You're going to have to carry him around everywhere.
No, in a dinner party, how often do you get up and walk around the table? You just
Well, you're
pop
going to
them
have to.
down,
I mean,
and
he's
you
a
could even
head.
scare the other guests. You could put them in one of those serving trays, and then you're like, "Whee, Scottish head."
Abusing his head. No. You're going to have to feed him still. You're going to have to.
Where would it go?
Into his stump.
And we stump. He doesn't. It would. I think he said he got a throat hole. It would just fall out. I'd have to put like a bucket underneath them, but it'd
A
be worth
bucket.
it. He's great for like banter and stories and interesting things. It'd be great to have there.
I disagree. I'm going to talk about this on the next podcast because I have been playing God of War Ragnarok again, and one of my biggest gripes is that fucking head on your hip.
No, it's you're just walking around in silence, and I love God
Yeah.
of War, but you just have boy, and then Atreus whining. And he adds colour, and it's great.
I mean, fair enough, every now and then it's okay, but literally he just doesn't shut up. Imagine having him on a long car journey up to Scotland to go and
I
take your
don't.
family to go and buy a barrel load of games again.
The whole segment wasn't who are you going on a long car journey to Scotland for? Why do you keep bringing that up? You keep bringing up me going to Scotland to buy all these games. What?
Because
Why?
it still surprises me.
What do you see? Have you seen my latest TikTok of what I did?
Yeah, you bought all the PS2 games in CEX, and all I thought was, Christ, the staff must have fucking hated you.
No, the staff were great, but I did have an old guy, right? With a ponytail, because you know, I mean, the reason I'm pointing out is normally in CX the staff are quite young. This old guy ponytail looked like he could have been like sort of oh, what, a roadie for like a band back in the 70s, and it was like his second day, and he was like, oh, and he had to ask everything. What do I do here? What should I get the disc first? Should I scan them in first? And but they were awesome. The queue behind us didn't like it. If you have a look at my TikTok, I did slyly record the queue. They were fuming. I tried to go right midweek so it wouldn't be busy to help them out, and because I'm a teacher, I'm on half term, so I thought I'd go midweek. And because I'm on half term, I forgot Monday was a bank holiday, so I went on the Monday and it was
So
still
that plan
full.
backfired. You went
Yeah,
on probably the busiest day they had.
I did.
Well, congratulations, Tom, for A, doing that, and for B, for managing to stay in CEX for more than 10 minutes, because usually I end up suffocating from the overarching stench of sweat and man BO that happens in every CEX shop.
Well, you should wear some links before you go in, and then you'll be all right.
Very good.
Right, who's your first character?
Not Mimir. So my first character would be Frank West from Dead Rising 1. And
Do
Dead
you know
Rising
that
1,
he's covered war stories?
well, I'm
Wars.
sure if I didn't, he would tell me all about it.
Exactly.
But the reason why I want him is because he's just normal. Like, he's just an average guy, and he would have a drink, he'd have a laugh, he'd stay around for some cards afterwards,
He could
and
take some photos of you
he
in
could.
like poses and like
Yeah.
one of your French girls.
My dinner with Frank. But yeah, he's just a normal guy, and he's the bloke you meet in the pub and have a good chat with. I think he's got some stories. He's a journalist. He's controversial. He's got some hot opinions. I think he'd be a good laugh. And
So,
he wouldn't be a snob. So, because I'm not a great
yeah.
cook. So, if I do put on the turkey Twizzlers, I think he'd be grateful that he's just getting a meal out
Well,
of
when
it.
he's running around that mall eating anything that he can find, chugging gallons of orange juice, I'm sure Turkey Twizzlers and Angel Delight will be absolute heaven. Chef
And
kiss.
vodka, and he
And
can drink a
vodka.
bottle of vodka, and for some reason that gives him health.
Yeah.
Most people, it would just kill them.
Yeah. But I'm going to tell you why your answer's great and terrible at the same time. I do agree with you. He would be a good person to have. But then your whole premise is because he's just a normal man. He's just a normal. He's just an innocent man, right? Like, so you could just have a normal dinner party and invite an innocent man. Like, this is all about. Oh, you can pick anyone, mystical creatures, anyone from any game. Who you picking? A normal man.
Yeah, that doesn't sound interesting to me. No, it would be interesting because he survived the events of the shopping centre zombie outbreak, and you could ask him tough questions like, oh, did you really want to save that person? They seemed a bit annoying. And oh, how did you get on that psychopath, Adam the Clown? God, what was going through your mind when you saw that fucking maniac with his chainsaws? I think he'd have a good few stories to tell.
Not as many as Mimir, but I'm going to move on to, and my character number two is someone who again wouldn't be a snob. I think I went with you on this one. Down to earth, definitely witty banter, definitely loads of stories to tell because he is a mighty pirate. And it is Guybrush Threepwood. Guybrush Threepwood will be really, really cool. He's always putting his foot in it. So with the other people guest there, he'd always say something to put his foot in it. And also he's clumsy as out. And that is for me because I'm normally the one who puts my foot in my mouth, and I'm normally the one who's like tripping over and taking half the table with us. So I thought he can negate me, make me look better, but having great stories. Hopefully wouldn't whine about Elaine Marley too much, but just you can't disagree with that one. You might, I can see why you disagree with Mamea, just because it's you, but you can't disagree with Guybrush Threepwood.
No, I think Guy is
a
good
Guy,
choice.
you're on nickname terms with him already. He's my dinner party, not yours.
No, he's a good choice. You can have an insult competition as well.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
You look like a cow. I always remember that one.
And the response, this is how much this game's going to be. The response is, that's appropriate because I'm going to milk you of blood or something. It's something like that.
No,
you look like a dairy farmer. You look like a dairy farmer. That's appropriate because I'm going to milk your blood or something. I don't think it is. I thought I was going to be class like remember something from 30 years ago, and no, I haven't. I just always remember, I am rubber, you are glue, if you didn't know the answer. I am rubber, you are glue. And look behind you, there's a three-headed monkey.
You milk whoever you want, Tom.
I will.
My next one is someone who I think I would get on with, even though he is a villain and not a very nice person. He's Mr. King Dice from Cuphead. He is a jazz musician. He's a gambler. And I love a good spin on a roulette wheel. Like, do you go gambling?
Not as much as I used to. I had to stop because I've got a very addictive personality. So I've never had a problem or anything, but I could, like, when I'm in a casino and there's lights going, I just get pulled in. Here's a story why gambling's not an ideal for me. I once was out, and I think it was like 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and I was on my own. I think I'd lost my friends, or they'd just been sensible and went to bed because it was 4 o'clock in the morning. And we had a casino in Sunderland, and it was open 24 hours, and I thought, I'm going to go there and have a drink. You know, sensible thing to do at 4 in the morning when I probably had uni the next day. And I went in and I said, oh, can I have a vodka and coke? And she went, no, you can drink, but you have to be gambling. You can't just get a drink. I went, okay. And I went and sat down, and she came over 10 minutes later to say, oh, well, probably 5-10 minutes later. I think I was just playing, I was going to say a pontoon, blackjack. I was playing blackjack, and she said, what do you want to drink? And I went, nothing. I've lost all my money. I had zero money to buy a drink, and just walked home with less money in my pocket at about like 4:30 in the morning. Which, this was the times where you couldn't just get your phone out or and tap it on something, and that would be dangerous for me if I could just go, oh, more. So I do enjoy it, but I prefer like a playful sort of between friends bet and gamble.
Yeah, I love a flutter, and not so much casinos, but love a scratch card, love a game or two. But I think Mr. King Dice would be a laugh. I think he'd bring some accessories with him. I think we could play some poker, and he's a good singer. Have you heard the King Dice song?
Yes, yeah. I've done Cuphead, yeah.
Yeah. Ah, Mr. King Dice. You know that's a lady who's singing that?
Oh, is it?
Yeah, great song. And I think we could talk about jazz and have a smoke. I think he'd be a good time. And then he'd just try and get me to sign my soul away to the devil. But
so, yeah, there you go. You know, you could sign the other sort of guests. You get their souls.
Are you in this dinner party with me?
I didn't think about that. Yeah, we're in each other's dinner parties.
Oh God, I don't want to be sat with Mamea for 2 hours. I'll be like,
at least you said, I don't want to be stuck with Mamea for 2 hours. Rather, I don't want to be stuck with you for 2 hours. I'll take that as a plus. You like me better than Mamea.
At least Mia's just a head, so I could get some duct tape and just put it over his mouth, and there's nothing he could do about it.
You could just drop kick him out the window.
Yeah, and apparently he's the smartest man.
Yeah, there you go.
Clearly not that smart, if I can do that.
well, right. I was going to move on to Stephen Hawkins there, talking about physical attributes and cleverness, but I think we'll move away and we'll go straight on to my third character. So I've definitely got a third character. There's no explanation. I'm just going to tell you who it is, and you can use your imaginations. It's Tifa Lockhart from Final Fantasy VII.
What a surprise.
Yep.
I knew someone from Final Fantasy VII would be making an appearance.
Yep. And yeah, just use your imaginations why I want her there. Hello, Mrs. Retro. So, have you?
I do.
Have you thought? I just thought when it was very testosterone-y, needed some estrogen.
Yeah, there's nothing but testosterone at your dinner party and on the podcast.
Well, you've only got men at yours.
Yeah.
Sexist.
Well, the next one is a rogue choice because I have thought of one. Okay. And it was on the proviso that these people can't kill us.
Right, okay.
So it's Pyramid Head from Silent Hill 2. Because I want to know what happens. I want to know what he's all about.
But he doesn't talk.
Oh, he will at my dinner party.
But would he be... He'd have to be like your Pyramid Head. Like your sexual frustrations and anger and angst. Not Chris Sunderland's.
Who's Chris Sunderland?
Oh, Jason Sunderland.
Jason Sunderland. Keep going, Tom. Keep digging this hole. Go
Sunderland.
On.
Well, you said Sutherland, and it's one of your favourite games of all time. And a couple of episodes ago, you called him Sutherland.
I didn't call him fucking Chris, though.
What's his name?
James.
James.
You only played it about a month ago.
I have short-term memory issues. Leave me alone. Right. All I'm going to say is there's no way your dinner party is going to trump mine, right? You've picked a normal person.
Yeah.
You picked someone who's going to try and sell your soul to the devil just because yours are a lazy bastard and you don't want to put, like, parlor games on. Oh, I know what parlor games are. So he's doing the entertaining for you.
Yeah.
But, and then you've picked... What technically is Pyramid Head? Is it his anger? Is it his sexual frustration? What is it?
Well, it's all very up in the air, really, because if he was just in Silent Hill 2, then I'd agree with you that it's just James's projections manifesting as a monster. But he turns up in Silent Hill Homecoming, which was a very bad decision, I thought, but they did it. So it's put a big question mark over
the
whole
thing. Is that like part of the lore, or is that just he's a character that people know from the series? He brings money in, let's just put him in.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. It's like a guest celebrity on Love Island. It's like, hey, it's Pyramid Head.
Imagine Pyramid Head turn up on the beach. Yeah. One of his exes there going, oh, bastard.
I just want to know, because he's such an enigma and he's a big question mark, and I just want to know what he's all about.
Your dinner party sums you up. You're just trying to be clever. Like, I'm not trying to be clever. I want to know. I'm going to call him Chris Sunderland from now on. Chris Sunderland's inner workings. Bugger off, man. You're having turkey Twizzlers and having a bit of a laugh, a couple of drinks. What, he's just going to bring the mood down?
No, it'll be an interesting conversation. He'll fascinate people. Frank West will be on tender hooks listening to Pyramid Head
speak.
It's
tender hooks, not tender hooks. Christ tender on a bike. Hooks. Tender hooks. Oh, this hook is so tender. Anyway... Yeah, it would annoy everyone. It would annoy everyone. He's got a massive pyramid on his head. You'd go, oh, so why were you chasing Chris Sunderland? And he'd just go, what? What?
He might not speak like that.
And then he'd kick off and kill everyone.
He might not speak like that. He might be a very articulate gentleman.
He's in a metal box, is my point. He's got a metal box on his head. You can't hear him.
Oh, you could take that off, I'm sure. When he gets home from work every day, I bet he takes that pyramid off.
Sharon, I need the bloodstains washed out of this. Can you get the rusties?
I bet he gets home and go, oh, blimey, what a hard day. Tormenting the minds of those.
I wonder what he looks like under there. I envisage just that it's Chris Sunderland's head.
Maybe. But or maybe it's Eddie the whole time.
Ed, and Eddie. Yeah, could be. Could be a pizza slice. Pepperonis for our eyes, anchovies for our mouth. And maybe. On that, please let us know in the comments who's got the best dinner party. This is the one thing that I've mentioned, Boxy, where I think the comments are definitely going to have better dinner parties than us. I like my dinner party, but I'm not strong with it. But I also think this is very subjective. Like, you would want to know the inner workings of Pyramid's Head. I'd want to get pissed with Guybrush Threepwood. That they're very sort of insights into our minds. So,
I think. So with mine, Frank West for the laugh. He'd be we'd like rib off each other a little bit. Who was my next one? King Dice for like the entertainment and the sort like the music and the voice and everything. Mate, he'd chill people out. And then when we're all a little drunk and we all get a little bit philosophical, Pyramid Head comes in with his story, and everyone ends up crying.
Well, for me, Mimi is there. He's telling awesome stories. And then Garbage Seat was there with, like, witty remarks to it. Well, we're having a few drinks and stuff like that. And then we can just look at Tiffa.
You don't want Tiffa for the conversation as well? That just shows you're a pervert.
Yeah. I completely agree with that. Tiffa Lockhart is ingrained in my brain. I played that game, was it 97? I think it came out in 96 on the PS1, but I didn't play it till it came out for PC. So 97, I was like 11, 12 years old. She shaped me. She shaped me.
I don't want to hear about your shape.
And on that one, we're going to move on to the most important part of the podcast going forward. And I can see Boxy rolling his eyes, but he insisted that we have trivia every episode. So I insisted on Game Busters every single episode. And mine is going to be crowd participation. So what I'm going to do is I will give you a Rock Busters. And you can have a think, but I'm not going to tell you whether you're right or not, Boxy. And if you think you've got the right answer in your head, you're going, yeah, it's definitely this. Don't give it away, because we will give you the answer in next week's episode. So end of every episode from now on, we're going to have a Game Busters. I know you're ready for this one. I'm really proud of this one.
I'm deliberately going to write it down.
Okay.
Because I feel like I failed that on the last time. I think sometimes when I can see things visually, it helps me.
Well, what I'm going to do as well, I'm not going to give away the answer straight away by saying the wrong thing, which is what I did the first time we did Rockbusters. So are you ready?
Go for it.
Tell that blackbird that there's no Roger Lloyd Pack in the Only Fools musical.
Fucking hell. All right, I've changed my mind. I'm not going to write that down.
Tell that blackbird that there's no Roger Lloyd Pack in the Only Fools musical. Now,
can
this...
Roger Lloyd Pack is an actor, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
And he played a character in Only Fools and Horses. Yeah.
Don't give away... I'm not giving clues because people want to guess. What I'll do, Boxy, is we'll leave it there, because if you haven't got to buy next episode, I'll give you a few clues then, because I want the people at home to be able to try and have a think. So what we'll do going forward is the clues and stuff I'll give you will be for, like, obviously the previous weeks, but obviously we haven't got a previous weeks this week. So in the comments, do you know what that one is? And if you know that one and you put it in, you're an absolute legend. And that is the end of the episode. That is the end of season 2, episode 1. Thank you very much for joining us. Like we said, now we're going to have 2 podcasts come out a week. Our normal around about an hour one. And then we're going to have our secondary one, which is not going to be called The Klingoff. We need a name from you. Please let me know in the comments. It's just going to be a little 10-minute burst. We're going to play around with, see what works in those sort of podcasts. Just because we know that you miss us. We know that you miss us. So keep an eye out for that one. And then if not, we will see you next week on episode 2, if you're Boxy's fan, and episode 12, if you're my fan. Thank you very much for joining in. Find us on our socials. They're all in the description. Boxy, goodbye, and I will see you next episode.
Good to be back. I'll see you next week.